God sent His only Son for the sins of the world. Not just for a few people, but for the whole of humanity at that time, and for the whole of humanity that was yet to come.
Amen.
Wow. What a plan. And what a purpose. And you know, I've been looking, I look at the Christmas story each year, and it suddenly come afresh again. And we get so in that situation and circumstance where we have the nativity scene, don't we? For instance, if we look to the front of the church here, we have Mary and Joseph, the baby Jesus in the crib. We have the animals, and we have shepherds there. And then we have three wise men. It's partly true, but it's partly not true. So, let's do it as it is right now. Let's say that, and let's, for instance, just remind you that the 25th of December was not actually the day that Jesus was born. Sorry to burst any bubbles, but hate to tell you, but, you know, we use that day as a day because it was used as a Christmas-type solstice celebration, which was involved in ungodly worship. And so the Christians at that time who came to the England of that changed the date, changed the meaning, and said it's the birth of Jesus. Jesus actually was born late September, early October. It's about the nearest time you can get. Okay? So that's where we are, but it's okay, we'll celebrate Christmas. It's nice to have lovely fancy wrappings on dull, dark, dismal days when it's raining, and suddenly you've got this shiny parcel, and there is a surprise in there for you. Isn't that nice? And so it's lovely to have that. So let's just, for instance, you need to go. This guy is somewhere else. And so are you. Now, it talks about wise men from the east. It actually doesn't say there were three, does it? I hope I'm not going to burst your bubble, but I just want you to realise look at how it happened. And it makes great deal of sense, actually. So now what we have is, we have Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, the angel, thank you, and the shepherd. So now we have a picture of the time of the birth of the Lord Jesus. And if we turn to, and all of this comes from the Bible, so if we turn to Luke's Gospel and chapter 2 and verse 14, verse 13, and suddenly they appeared with the angels, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased. Peace amongst men. One translation says, peace towards men. It's God's peace. Jesus, one of His names, He's called the Prince of Peace. And you know, when we ask the Lord Jesus to come into our hearts and our lives, we're asking for the Prince of Peace. We're asking that His peace would rule and reign in our lives. So that no matter what is going on outwardly, and today, in these days, we live in a time of trouble. We live in a time when there is this disease, this virus going round, and people are afraid. There's not much peace in their lives. They're in panic. But today we have the Prince of Peace who can rule and reign as we allow Him to. Because that is why He came. He came to rule and to reign. He came to rule in my life. He came to rule in your life. And when He rules, He brings peace. He brings comfort. He brings joy. Hallelujah. He brings healing and wholeness into our lives. And so the angel says, peace amongst men. And it says in verse 15, and when it came about, when the angels had gone away from them to heaven, that the shepherds began to say to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see this thing which the Lord has made known to us. So, at the birth of Jesus, on that very evening, that's the scene. The shepherds, Mary and Joseph, the animals in the stable, that's all that were present. You know, not a great place when you look at it, you know, it was only a place to keep animals. There was no room in any of the inns, because it was a time when they were taking a census, and every hotel, guys, was full. Grace and I went to Israel one time. We got to Jerusalem. We'd got 3 nights booked, and after that we were skint. Didn't have a credit card them days either. Had to walk in more by faith, not by credit card, not by Visa. It was by faith. And we'd 11 days to do. And we had nowhere to stay. I rang round hotels trying to find a cheap place to stay. And then I discovered we were a bit like Mary and Joseph. It was feast time. It was the Feast of Tabernacles, and everybody who's got a name was in Jerusalem. And it's like, there is no place to stay. Where are we going to stay? We have little or no money. God provided for us. We prayed. Went out to get something to eat. And I asked this young man what the food was like, and the Lord said to me, ask him about accommodation. So I did. And he said to me, that's no problem. All my friends have gone back to their homes for the celebration, so the house that I live in, there's just me. The fridge door's open. He dipped his hand in his pocket. He said, here's the key to the door. You catch this whatever number bus from across that bus stop there. This is the address. I'll see you on Thursday. And went. I'm stood there looking at this, and Grace is not with me at this point in time. And when I told her, she looked at me and went, really? I said, yeah. We stayed with that young man for the next 8 days. We tried to contact him afterwards and send him some money. Nobody had ever heard of him. They said nobody had ever lived at that house by that name. Who did we stay with? I'm not really sure now. It may have been an angel that was sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. That's their job. That's their function. And when we step out in faith, when we trust God and believe God, He'll turn up.
He will.
Always turns up. Always turns up. And we thank God for His goodness towards us. And I tell you these stories because I want you to grow in your faith. I want you to grow in your trust in God Himself. That His eye is constantly upon you. He's always watching over you. But you see, we have to join hands with Him. We have to connect with Him. You know, I'm using a radio tie mic. The guitars use a radio system. And there are 6 channels on there. And if you get on the wrong channel, you get nothing. Nothing. It's just silence. If you don't get on the right channel with God, you never hear Him. It's silence. He's talking. I can play my guitar on channel 2 and you won't, you know, you'll hear very little. I know it's an acoustic, you'll hear it because it's an acoustic, but as regards the assistance of the electronic system, because it's on channel 2, you'll hear nothing, because channel 1 is the channel it should be set for. You see, there's a receiver, there's a sender and a receiver. And if the two aren't on the same channel, they're missing each other. And we need to get onto that same channel as God. God's not changing channels. He's set. You have to change. I have to change. That we might hear the voice of God get on that right channel. So that we hear the voice of the living God in our lives. So important. And so the angel was speaking to them. The shepherds went to find out, and they came to the manger. They must have hunted all the way around looking for a stable. Or maybe it was just that star, that brightness that was just like a spotlight shining down. Look, see where that light is? Let's go there. Because bear in mind, they didn't have street lights in those days, did they? It was starlight, moonlight, or the star that shone in the east and shone where the baby had been born and was shining there. And the shepherds went to that point and they found the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when I think about that, I think about, you know, God sends His Son, the one who was involved in creation, the one who was involved in creating you and me. He sends Him as a baby, helpless, defenseless, unable to take care of any of His own needs. This is the Son of God. This is the Creator of the universe, has suddenly made Himself very vulnerable. He's placed His own life in your hands and in my hands. He surrendered Himself to Mary and Joseph for their care. God, Almighty God, said, "Here, this is my Son. Look after Him." Today, again He's saying, "This is my Son, Jesus. Take Him into your hearts. Amen. Take Him into your lives." But now, He will look after you. Yes. You're not looking after Him. He's taking care of you. The role has now changed. Mary and Joseph were not rich. They were poor. Jesus was not born into a rich family where he had a good start. Some folk might say he could have been born in intake. Bentley. Somewhere like that. No rich family. How do I know he wasn't rich? Well, the Bible tells us quite specifically. If you read it and look at it carefully, it tells you. It says there in verse 20, the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all that they'd seen and heard, just as they'd been told by the angel. And verse 21, it starts there, it says, and when 8 days were accomplished before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived. Verse 22, and when the days of their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And verse 24 it says, well, I'll read 23. And as it is written in the law of Moses, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now let me just go back a little bit. Old Testament, actually, the offering should have been a young lamb. If they were rich, it was the offering of a young lamb. It says here that they offered a pair of doves because they were not rich. Can you see the story I'm beginning to paint to you now? They were not a rich family. They were a family who were in need. They were under oppression. But they'd submitted to the authority of God. They'd submitted to the will of God. And were acting it out and believing that God would bless them. And we, as we've seen tonight, the story of Simeon blessing the child, rejoicing that he's seen the appointed Lord and Saviour, the Messiah of the world, had been born. He'd been promised by God. In verse 34 he said, Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and for a sign to be opposed. And the sword will pierce even his own soul, to the end that thought from many hearts may be revealed. And we heard about the prophetess Hannah. You know, these people knew about what God was going to do, what the promises of God were. And you know, as we draw close to God, God wants you to know what he's going to do. God wants you to realize, he wants you to hear his voice and to know that God wants to do great things in your life and for your life. Realize that God is interested in you. Realize, and as we have it, God is love. Who does he love? He loves us. He loves me. Say this, God loves me. You need to say it. God loves me. Yeah. You see, so often we do things and we do things wrong, and suddenly we hear that voice saying, God doesn't love you anymore because you've made a mistake. You know where that came from? It came from the pit. It came from the devil. Yeah. And so we need to remind ourselves when we hear that voice, we need to remind ourselves, it says in the Word, God is love and God loves me. Amen. Jesus died for me. Yeah. What you need to do is put your name in. God loves Andrew. Yeah. God loves Grace. God loves Vida. God loves Steve. Amen. I'm glad I've got somebody with me today. Jesus died for Andrew. Jesus died for Tracy. And Michelle, come on. And Brenda. Yeah, you see, God loves us. God died for us. He sent His Son. Because He cares. He cares for His creation. And we are part of that creation. So this story of that we celebrate at this Christmas time, it's to remind us of what God had done, of who He'd sent, and the importance of the matter that we have here. And so we find here that Mary and Joseph are a poor family. They're living in Bethlehem, a small village on the outskirts of the capital. Housing's cheaper there. It's true, isn't it? You know, it's cheaper to live in the outskirts than it is to live in the city centre. And so they lived on the outskirts. It doesn't tell you what was happening, what they were doing. But they lived there for a number of months. How do I know that? Easy. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 2. And verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, the Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem. If you look at historical records, you'll find that this King Herod was alive during the early days of the birth of Jesus. Where you'll find that the Magi took them about 18 months approximately to arrive in Bethlehem. They came from China. They came along the Silk Route by camels all the way from China. It would have taken them quite some time. You know, it's not a journey now where you jump on an aeroplane and 10 hours later you land. They had to ride it, walk it, face bandits. And these men, these wise men, these men were the men that looked into the sky and read the story of the stars. They copied what God had told Abraham to do. We heard the other week in the covenant of Abraham, where God said to Abraham, go outside your tent, have a look at the stars, because where in the stars is written what I am going to do. From the very beginning of time to the very end of time, it is written what I am going to do. I've written it there. I put it in the stars as a remembrance and a reminder. Just remember, in Abraham's day, there were no books. You've got books. iPads, computers, iPhones and Samsungs, and you look it all up on there. They didn't have those. God said, before you bring all that up, I'll write it in the stars. It's there. And every time you're feeling downcast, look up. Look at the stars. That story does not change. It's set. It's set in time. It's set. And it all runs in motion together. It doesn't change. It's set for an eternity. Praise His name. And so the wise men studied the stars and they saw this light, which was called the star of Jesus, the star of the Son of God. They saw this light. And in Chinese history, it's recorded that when they saw the star, they said, the Son of God has been born. And so these Eastern men from Asia travelled looking to bring the king. The king, the king, not a king. The king of kings, gifts worthy of him and who he was. They knew, they'd have studied the stars, the story of Jesus' birth, of Jesus' life and conquering life victory and death and resurrection is written in the stars right now. And I'll do a study on that sometime with you. It is written there. And they'd seen it. And they knew that he was a king. So they brought gold fit for a king. They brought frankincense and myrrh. These were for the anointings and also for his death. They knew his story before his story had really begun. They knew that he was born a king, but he was born a king to die for the nations of the world. These men knew that. So when they came, these wise men, boys, I need your help. Come this way, please. I need your help. So when these wise men came, they came to Jesus. Would you take the one in the middle with the gold and place him in there? We're no longer in a stable, we're in a house. Anywhere you want inside there, or just at the front, would be fine. That'd be fine down there. Would you take that king there? Yes, please. And so these wise men arrived at the scene. Whether there were three, whether there were five, we don't know, but there were three gifts. And the gifts were there for that purpose. And so the wise men arrived. But before they got there, they called in at the city. They called in to see Herod and said, have you heard there's a king being born round here somewhere? Well, Herod says, really? Herod was an evil man. Thank you. And so he said to him, well, there's nobody being born in my palace. Nobody in our family had a baby. Who is this king? Go and find him and I will come and I will worship him. And so the wise men went on their journey and finally came to Bethlehem, to the house where Jesus was living. He's a toddler now. He's running around. Just like this one does over here. They said. He's running around. They turn up and they bring the gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh. And in a dream, God speaks to the wise men and tells them, do not go back to Herod and tell him where Jesus is. Go another way. Yeah. So they returned back to the east. Another way. Joseph also was told by the angel in a dream, pack everything up, head out to Egypt. So that the scripture might be fulfilled, out of Egypt I have called my son. The wise men had just brought the money so they could journey to Egypt. They brought them gold. So that they could travel, they could pay for accommodation, and they could spend time in Egypt. Joseph was a carpenter. He had no job at that time. Are you listening? God is providing.
Yes.
Are you listening? God is providing.
Yes. Amen.
So they go to Egypt. And historically, it's recorded around about 4 AD, Herod dies. Now we know the fact that Herod had suddenly realized that the wise men had like slipped through the net, and they avoided going back through the city of Jerusalem. But he had an idea that the child that had been born was around 2 years at the most. So he sent his soldiers to Bethlehem. And there they slaughtered every child from the age of 2 years down. Imagine the weeping and the wailing that went on in that city of mothers bereaved and fathers bereaved of children. A massacre. Just because somebody did not want to lose his throne. And yet, within a few months, this wicked man died. And the angel told Joseph, he's dead now. He's gone. You can go back. And it says they came back and they travelled and they went back to Nazareth. Set up home. Set up this carpentry business again. And lived his life, and Jesus became a carpenter. And until the age of 30, was submitted to his mother and father. That's the Christmas story.
Amen.
That's the Christmas story. That a baby came, was sent, was given by Almighty God for your protection, for your covering, for your caring. And then at the age of 30, he took on his role to be the Son of Man, to become the Son of God again, to die for the sins of the whole world that was and is to come. This is my Jesus. This is my Lord. And today, whatever you do, don't lose contact with him. Whatever you do, stay on the right frequency with him. Stay connected with him. Keep your battery charged. You know, even today, we checked batteries, but guess what? We were caught out. Keep the batteries charged. How do we keep our batteries charged? Will you stop stealing the message, you? I taught you well. I can see that. Read your Bible.
Yeah.
This is the battery charger. This is the inspirer. This is food. This is what brings you through to victory. And as I was reading the Christmas story again last night, I suddenly just saw some fresh insights for me. And because we every postcard, every picture we see, the nativity scene, you know, and we've got things up around the church and what have you. But we forget how it really happened, or we don't know how it really happened. Hollywood paints a different scene as well, and we see these things. But there's a time span. But you see, God is in every part of that point of time. And so no matter where you are in your life, God is there. You just have to stay connected with him during that point of your life. Joseph had to be in touch with God. Joseph had to be open to listen to the angel. When the angel said to him right at the beginning in his relationship with Mary, she's already with child. Well, I haven't married her yet. How can this be? Can you imagine? She's a 16-year-old girl. He could be 30. He's like, what have you been doing? Where have you been? Who have you been with? Can you think about it for a moment? You know, just ponder those thoughts. It's an embarrassment. In a small town, small village, everybody knows everybody's business. Did you know? Have you heard about Mary? And yet the angel comes and he's tuned in and he listens. Don't be afraid. taker, lover, carer, cherisher. He does. And he cares for the Son of God,
Amen.
The Son of Man. What a responsibility. Think about it. What a responsibility. Today, when we've all come to Christ, He places the Word of God into our hands and into our lives.
Yeah.
He says, take care of my son.
Amen.
Take on the responsibility to share my son. Give him away as a gift to those who are in need.
Amen.
Today, we have Kerry with us. Somebody in March gave away Jesus to her. She received the gift and she opened the gift.
Amen.
Today, she's here.
Yeah.
Fabian, the Lord touched her and spoke to her. She's reopened the gift. She's reconnected with the giver of the gift. And if you ask her, I think she'll tell you it's the best thing that she's done. I pray that there's no turning back for it, each and every one of us. There's no turning back. I don't have enough energy to go backwards now. I've come this far. I haven't got enough fuel to go back to where I was. I want to keep moving forward. I want to keep moving on. I've got a good few years left in front of me yet. In spite of how old some of you think I might be or may think I am. I've just got years and years and years. I've just claimed another 7 years back for 2020. It's been an absolute bummer of a year in one sense. But it doesn't, because I've just continued to do things. It's restricted some of the things that I wanted and planned to do. But I'm claiming those things back.
Amen.
Sevenfold.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So I'm still pumping fire. I'm still going for it. Glory to God. Come on.
Amen.
Come on, devil. I'm on fire.
Amen.
And when I come through, I'm going to burn a hole in you. Glory to Jesus. You're going to see the kingdom of God and the power and the might and the presence of the Lord Jesus pushing through.
Amen.
And you know, I want to take you with me.
Amen.
I want to take you with me. Because I believe the Lord is calling His church to stand up and to be counted. He's calling His church to stand for truth. He's calling His church to stand on the power and the authority of the name of Jesus. He's calling for the church to stand on the very presence of that mighty word. He's calling for His church not to be afraid. He's calling for His church to stand in the light of His glory and to reflect the light of His glory into the world around us right now today. And so that we shall not be afraid. We are called to be more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Not to be a conqueror, but to be more than a conqueror. We are conquerors of conquerors.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's what we call to be. And all of this is because the little baby was born and given to us for our care. God did that. Do you know what that says to me? That says to me that God put a great trust in His loved ones. Let me tell you this. God trusts you. God trusts you. Rise to that. Rise to it. You know, the devil will try and tell you you're a waste of space. You failed again. God won't trust you ever again. God trusts you.
Amen.
Show Him that you're trustworthy. Show Him that you're worthy of His trust. And see the power of God working through your life from this day forward right into eternity.
Amen.
For the glory of God. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord bless you.